Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called Yellow Resonant Seed, and it is the seventh day of the White Mirror Wave Spell, and it is also the self-existing moon, day 27. So we are at the end of the self-existing moon, essentially. I will definitely talk about our finishing touches then, the last days of the self-existing moon in a moment, but I was remiss in not speaking about how we entered on the red self-existing dragon the last time I podcasted. We entered something called the mystic column. It is the seventh column of the 13. So if you're looking at the Zolk'in as kind of a grid, the way it's drawn in calendars, it is 13 rows of 20 squares, or 20 days each. So the dropping 1 through 20 is moving through the 20 tribes from red dragon to yellow sun. And then across the other direction, sort of what we might call horizontally, we're just counting 13. It's not that we're saying, oh, the first column matches the first tone, magnetic. The second column is the tone that matches the lunar tone, the second one. That's not what that means. It just simply means that in order to move through all of the wave spells of 13 days each, we have to visit every tribe, and that means 13 times 20. It's 20 tribes each having a 13-day wave spell. So it's 260 days, and we move through each of the 20 tribes. So the tribes are counted in a column, and there are 13 columns to make sure we have breadth and space to cover every wave spell. But when we get to the central column, especially if you look at this grid of the Zolk'in, you can see that it looks very much like the spine of the Zolk'in, because it is the only column that has zero portals in it. There are only two portals in the first and 13th columns, meaning the ones that are at the beginning and the end of the Zolk'in. There are a few more as we move towards the center, and then of course we have 10 days of portals in the 6th column and the 8th column, meaning the ones just outside the center. We just went through the red dragon portals in the 6th column, and then as we started White Mirror, the wave spell, it was White Mirror, Blue Storm, Yellow Sun, and then when we moved to this red dragon day, the red self-existing dragon, we started our journey through the central column of the Zolk'in called the Mystic Column. And I mean, it's called the Mystic Column by an Anglo person, not someone deep from the indigenous Maya, but what it would mean is a way of labeling what is truly indigenously represented by that spaciousness. That wide open central column is considered a channel directly between heaven and earth. So when we are moving through this column day by day, we get to be in a little bit of a transcendent space. And it's also a transitional space because, you know, I spoke, I think ages ago now, about how we would have six pretty provocative wave spells in a row. And it was, I think maybe it included Red Skywalker, or it started with White World Bridger. But the way it works is that there's Red Skywalker, then White World Bridger, then Blue Storm, then Yellow Human, then the Red Serpent and then White Mirror. And that ends up being, I mean, Red Skywalker is not, I would say, sort of the way we enter this pretty, like there's just a lot of intense teaching and grappling with concepts in these tribes that I've just rattled off that move against some forms of stability. And they ask us to be bigger than logic, bigger than, our limited humanity, even though we pass through yellow human. I think when we pass through the yellow human wave spell of the ones I just said, we grapple with how intense it is to be a human, you know, that there's actually just a lot of mind control and minimizing that we have to do to fit in a compact human body. And so, again, Red Skywalker becomes kind of the loosening of the territory of the terrain, gets us up in the sky out of the traction of just, quote unquote, everyday living. And then we enter this journey where we are in White World Bridger exploring what death means. And then Blue Storm exploring what that kind of profound pressure release in the sky means, being a force of nature. And then Yellow Human, where we have to tighten things up and learn that we're pretty wound and limited in our beings and other things, that we become enlightened humans, so we let some things go so that we can find the light in our human form. And then we come to Red Serpent, well-described time of having to deal with pretty primal instinctual fear and hunger. And then finally White Mirror, which we're in, which can be provocative because it asks us to explore sacrifice and a kind of slicing at our sense of ease or comfort, breaking us open, breaking us free. And that's upon us. But anyway, I started that thought by saying that the mystic column is pretty transitional because of those wave spells that I just named. We're now in this column going to finish White Mirror and start Blue Monkey. The Blue Monkey wave spell starts right in the middle of the column on the 11th day. And it also starts the second half of the Zolk'in because it's the 131st day. So it's 130 days that starts with the Red Dragon wave spell, and then 130 days that starts with the Blue Monkey. And the first 130 days is called the Red Dragon Genesis, and the second 130 is called the Blue Monkey Genesis. And they have very different tonality. And I would say that the first one is like forced inhalation. Like you're going to take in what is being taught. And so it's new. It's invigorating. Can feel foreign. And it can feel forced, or like that you grapple with, like, I'm not sure I can take any more of this. And then in the second half, the exhalation is how you have merged the teaching you took in, the experiential learning, with your own, personal composition, and you're letting it out again as a release, but also as, you're marking the world with your integrated sense of what you took in the first half, in the exhalation and the release outward. It's not just what you took in, it's what you took in plus what you invested yourself. What you yourself invested in the experience of the first half is let out into the world. So it becomes an expression, I would say, that your output into the world, whether it's service or creativity, productivity, is more marked. And then the first 130 days of the Zolk'in, we're hobbled a bit because we are the recipients of either divine inspiration or, karmic lessons. And then we have just, I think, more ability to extend ourselves outward, a gesture of making an impression on the world that we live in. Not in a super egotistical way, like, and now I am the ruler, but just more like, this is my, from the infusion of everything I took in or was forced to grapple with, this is what I have to offer in response. This is my part, my participation in all that I was taught and imbued with for the first 130 days. So that's coming up. Not immediately, but I haven't talked about that. And then White White mirror wave spell, here's some things I want to say. I mean, I had to witness someone close to me break up with someone. I know them both very well. And I just felt this, you know, it's such familiar anguish, even if it's happening to someone else. Just like, no, someone's heart is breaking right now. We all know that feeling. Gah. So I think this wave spell, whether it happens to you or someone around you or no one you know, but I just think it really does have such distinct qualities that we can all reckon, you know, we can like just draw them right up from the ethers if we need to be reminded, like, what does it feel like to have your heart break? Okay, I know. I got it that fast. It hurts like hell. It like you can't eat. That you have to cry or you can't cry, that you can't move, the hopelessness, the despair, despondency. And so I feel like I'm living it just sort of like from the outside with a really strong awareness that that white mirror invites that. And here's some other things, coincidentally. You know, I have a daughter in college and I just got a letter from them, you know, apologizing for how many students have died this semester. And the semester is 2.5 months in. I mean, we're still mid-semester and there have been 9 student deaths. And it's overdoses and suicides. You know, it's not murder, which doesn't, you know, mean that white mirror is behind all that. It just means in the white mirror wave spell, I am learning about sacrificial death and breakups. And what else? Reflection, you know, I wanted, you know, it's that's monkey see, monkey do, or like I said before, when the old game where someone holds their hand up and then you hold your hand up and exact, you know, mirrored to them and they move their hand. I feel that so strongly in this wave spell. Like, if you do it, then I want to too. That's very, very beautiful. And then I'm not speaking of my personal life where I think it's possible that I will also feel, you know, cut out or cut open in the next few days. I sent a letter and I feel like the response to the letter could be that thing that I thought I could skirt around in this wave spell where perhaps, you know, I'll feel a little heartbroken. So I'll continue to report because there's just... Remember, each wave spell is not, it's not that I'm standing here dictating how your life's going to go or my life. What I'm saying is that if we allow and accept these basic concepts of each wave spell to be in our consciousness, or they're, you know, synchronistically happening when we pass through the wave spell, we want that and we embrace it. It's not as if we're creating our own bad reality by going, oh no, the white mirror wave spell, time of human sacrifice, this is going to be hard. And the naysayers are like, you, by thinking about it, are making it hard. You know, the point is you think about it or you give it credence, because the Zolk'in is organized that we touch on all these masterful concepts of the human experience in balance. And that if we didn't have 13 days or one day as we encounter white mirror just of its, you know, own, not its wave spell, if we didn't give reverence and consideration to what sacrifice means, giving something up sort of on an earthen or personal or emotional level in order to find space where we turn over our trust and surrender to divine will, if we didn't have that, we might not practice it. So by bringing conscious to it, we are just allowing it to be a part of our reality. And the Zolk'in is just an alternate reality to everyday living in the modern world, or it's an alternate reality to the calendar we follow. But in the Zolk'in reality, we have 20 powerful icons culled from a more ancient life. So they revere things that are maybe outmoded or out of the habit of revering. And by bringing our attention to them, we get to have balance. We have a wave spell to celebrate birth or the divine feminine. We have a wave spell to celebrate breathing and our relationship to our fathers who are often absent, or our relationship to an invisible God. I mean, that's Red Dragon and White Wind, and I could go through all 20. Like, we have the white mirror wave spell so that we can name and honor the human experience of heartbreak, of feeling the loss, deep loss, that is still connected, again, to having something taken away, so that we can fill the emptiness with something more forceful, fateful, and powerful. So this is how White Mirror is journeying along. We're on the seventh day, so it's kind of nice. I'm talking about the central column, the seventh column, on also the seventh day of the wave spell, and that's the midpoint. What's interesting about the day, the resonant day, is not that it's like, it's not the highest point of the wave, and the wave is equally, you build the wave up and you let it build down equally, and seven's in the middle. Seven is just part of the acceleration and ascendance of a wave form that started, of course, at zero, and one, two, three, four, by my evaluation, are underwater, if we're talking about the ocean, and then five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten are the part of the wave that we see building to a crest, and then it all falls apart on the 11th day, and the 12th day is the settling, and the 13th day is the stillness, when we're not sure where the wave is anymore. We can't see it while it's building down below. Again, that is the cycle that I attribute to the 13 tones. And the seventh, the resonant one, is just part of the journey of accelerating our ascendancy. You know, we're not even at the fastest, highest part of the peak. We're just getting there. And the way that it works linguistically and in terms of, you know, how we might experience on an energetic level, is that it is a kind of a pause day. The resonant day is for being resonant, which means being hollow, empty, and letting something resound within us, which is very similar to the mystic column, the seventh day. They have that parallel, that it's a movement from, like, what we stand on, the earthen plane, and, you know, what is a far above our heads, the sky, the star system, and it's a resonance for some kind of passage between those worlds, realms. And it's a really psychic day, and it's always, always, additionally, a premonition or a first recognition of the wave spell that will arrive 20 days from now, and that will be the yellow seed wave spell, which is the other wave spell with 10 portal days. So all I'll say, because it's 20 days away and the portals start even 22 or 3 days from now, like, let's not rush ahead. We're in the mystic column. It's a spacious, resonant space, place, and we want to be not in the past or the future. So much the mystic column is like an extended portal, and it's for being present and kind of more abstract, again, spacious, kind of like in between movements rather than in action ourselves. And so this resonant day within the mystic column can just have the doubling of energy of holding a lot of empty space that's being utilized by spirit messaging, and we get psychic, intuitive strongly, and we can also hear in the way someone else is speaking to us truths that are intuitive indicators of where our life needs to go. Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, the one thing I'll say about yellow seed, because we're all experiencing it today, is see if you can feel in a general way what the yellow seed wave spell might be portending, because today is the portending of the yellow seed wave spell. It's basic language, and you can get that answer for yourself. And yeah, yellow seed is about, you know, of course, our relationship to the earth and what we will plant and eat, raise, how the crops will be raised so that they account for every part of our life, you know, before plastic. what we would weave and what we would wear would come from our plant life. So you will have on this day a relationship to the plant world, and you'll resemble a plant world. You'll have the same porous sensitivity as petals. You'll have a response to light and heat. Keeping it simple. I think it's a day of keeping it simple. And then the sexuality part. It's procreative day. It's talking about seeding, and that our sexuality seeds very much like plant life. Because we're not dealing with lust, appetites, and yellow seed. We're dealing with, it's a different kind of instinct. It's the instinct to be fertile. Red serpent tomorrow is, I think, more of the instinct of attraction and I wanted to say like domination, you know, or to be dominated. I mean, some role that feels more like animalistic sexual hunger. But this is more like, you know, sexuality that is fed by divinity, divinity guiding us to be sexual so that we create offspring. And, you know, it's sort of like conception instead of intercourse. That's cool. I've never thought that. I just really think that's a beautiful way to separate out the appetite for sex as a sex act for pleasure and the appetite for sex as procreation and bonding. Like, so it's not about pleasure principles and sensitivity as much as let us consecrate our partnership or our bond, our connection, and from it will come, you know, this incredible gift of new life. So I think sexuality is so powerful in a human experience that it gets two tribes. We talk about how there are 20 tribes that can kind of encompass and delineate what matters to a human existence. We have the way that our sexuality is like a plant and the way our sexuality is like an animal. And the animal happens to be a reptilian snake. Oh, this is one of these podcasts where I'm saying things that I've never thought before. I just like the discovery. I like it for myself. I hope it can be enjoyable to you. Let me turn my thoughts and awareness to the self-existing moon, which is now ending in terms of our Natural Time podcast connection, because it'll be the overtone moon next time I show up here. And I am overtone, so I actually am also wanting to talk about how it's going to be the overtone moon soon and how you can anticipate the change. The self-existing moon has been about discovering a form of service that we are embroiled in this year that began July 26. And it took this long for us to be certain that we kind of have a game plan of how we're going to be productive in helping someone besides ourselves. We will help ourselves by helping someone else. That is the credo. But we have a plan now, a form of service that we've identified in this last 27 days. And I hope you can notate what that is in your journal or the list you keep on your refrigerator about the tones of the 13 moon year and my, you know, insistence that you have some notation each moon about what you discovered within it. My reminder is that the two wave spells that dominated this moon, well, there were three, actually. It was yellow human, part of the yellow human wave spell, red serpent, and part of the white mirror wave spell. So one way to ask the question is, what form will my service take? I'm going to, use my humanity and my instinct, my more primitive urges, and I'm going to weather or explore, you know, how sacrifice will, letting go of something will let me get closer to my true relationship with divinity. So it just means that the answer to what form will my service take is some yellow human, a lot of red serpent, and some white mirror. I'm going to let you parse that out. And then the self-existing moon of form is four dots. If we go back to the Mayan numerology, I want to just recapitulate that for 1 second. The first moon, first tone is always one dot. The second tone is two dots, and it indicates a splitting of the one dot into two. And then the third dot, in my sense of that, the ellipsis, that would be the three dot, is the third tone, electric. So it's unity in the first one, like everything is compressed into one dot. It splits into two dots, and we describe it as kind of like my purpose over here and my challenge, or my purpose is everything condensed, but within my purpose is the challenge of the lunar moon, and then what isn't challenging. And then the electric moon, or electric tone with the third dot, is an insertion of, I keep saying divinity, but I can say God, it's all the same to me. God comes in. Divinity is a nameless, you know, doesn't have a personification. It's a presence. It's the ultimate presence of benevolence, holiness. It comes and sits between where there was division. This is my challenge. This isn't my challenge. And then self-existing, the fourth dot, is establishing, in a way, the four corners of something that indicate the base, the foundation. Or you could say it's how, when we ourselves and our challenge, or what challenges us, is eased by the presence of divinity, we can take things a step further. We can further things along, that fourth dot. Then, in the overtone moon, which starts on Friday, Friday the 15th, that of November, that will be the fluidity of all of that turns into a line, because it's a bar. The fifth tone, number five, is a bar. And I just love that that's what happens in the overtone moon, is, and in the overtone tone, is it what is separate or building or foundational suddenly gets fluid, meaning energy currents connect all those dots and turn it into a stream. And that's motion and acceleration and continuity. It's a force, because that's what the overtone is. You know, we had an overtone day. What was it? Monday? Super, everyone being bossy, bold, demanding. And I laugh because I'm an overtone person. Like, there I am. There I am. It's an overtone day. I'm an overtone person. I'm charged up and imperious and willful. I want to command things. I want things to stream. You know, no more of this dot, dot, dot. Let's get it going. So we're going to have that opportunity. And I actually find the overtone moon, it's my home base. So of course I like being home, and we all get to be home for 28 days of the natural time year. But I mean, for many of us, it is a feeling of being able to kind of move into power. Empower is one of the words. Empower radiance. Radiance is because things stop being square with corners. They become circular. Another way of looking at streaming is that things have soft edges and go round, that all the space is filled in and it's not boxy. Another way to think of the overtone, the number five, is a star with its five points, which is, you know, sits in a circle. You can make a circle out of the five points of the star, the pentagram. So it's five-pointed radiance that we become star-like. Then again, it's like how our head and our hands and our feet are five points of a human body, and that we experience continuity, streaming, radiance, so that all of our star points of our body are emanating and attracting, glowing. You know, it's just it's pretty boss. And that's a perfect word. I was not planning to say that. You know, it's about commanding. And I always say you can command a room, meaning you're a great speaker, presence, people are listening and wrapped with, you know, you have their attention. That's good commanding. And then there's just a lot of like, you need to do this, bossing and boss time. That was my pun. You know, that gets really old and irritating for others. So you got to try to find that radiance where you are streaming and you are a natural presence that people want to witness and they're fascinated. We're going to talk more about it next time that I'm here. The podcast will continue. You can get my book at resonanttruth.com. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan we say, in Lakesh.